Today's lesson is about fasting and the issues related to the fasting. So it is not a continuation of our previous lesson. Let me read verse 183 and 184 of Surah Al-Baqarah related to fasting. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, that ye may learn self-restraint. أياما معدودات فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر. وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. Fasting for a fixed number of days, but if any of you is ill or on a journey, the prescribed number should be made up from days later. For those who can do it, in hardship is a ransom, the feeding of one that is indigent, but he that will give more of his own free will, it is better for him, and it is better for you that ye fast, if ye only knew. So, these verses and the following verses are related to the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Now these verses have been explained during our preceding lesson. Now I just want to remind you of some of the issues related to the month of Ramadan and the fasting. Few general things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed fasting upon us. What is the purpose behind it? To develop taqwa. And the best description of taqwa is, اجعل بينك وبين عذاب الله وقاية. Make between you and the punishment of Allah a barrier. Just like you use umbrella to keep yourself from hot sun and from raining. In the very same way, you have to create taqwa, a barrier, a shield to keep yourself away from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this taqwa is developed from fasting. How? Because it teaches you how to restrain yourself, how to control yourself. You keep away from food and drink, from any contact, sexual contact with your wife, during the day times of Ramadan. This is how you learn how to control yourself. Fasting is not only of your stomach, fasting is of your tongue as well. Don't backbite, don't tell lies, don't talk rubbish. Fasting is of your eyes. Don't see to the foreign woman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when you are walking, and you see a woman, the first glance, which is an accidental one, is allowed, but don't stare, because the second glance is not allowed. And let alone seeing movies and films, all those things are prohibited. So if you want to keep your fasting very clean, then switch off TV, at least during Ramadan. Switch it off, and alhamdulillah, your fasting would be very, very clean. Fasting of your ears. Don't listen to the voice of Satan. And the voice of Satan is singing with musical instruments. That singing only, which is not allowed. But if it is plain singing, someone is singing with the praise of Allah, any hymn, or the praise of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any other good poetry, that is all allowed. But singing specially with musical instruments, excluding hand drums or tambourines. all other musical instruments comes under the prohibition. So if you listen to them, especially during Ramadan, then you are increasing your burden, your sin. Passing of your hands. First of all, you don't kill somebody, don't slap somebody. You don't touch a woman who is not your mahram. Who is your mahram? Your wife, your sister, your mother, your aunt, your mother-in-law. These are your mahram. But your cousin is not your mahram. Other women are not your mahram. So shaking hands with them, that is, of course, it is not allowed at any time. But during the fasting, any sin which is committed, it becomes a big sin then. So that is the fasting of your hand. Fasting at your feet. Don't go to a place where the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is committed. Like cinema houses, like gambling places. All such places where there is something which can attract the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Month of fast is approaching. How do you receive it? Some people receive it with a lot of difficulty. They think, oh, the burden is coming. And we have to keep away from food and drink throughout the day, daytime in the month of Ramadan. Oh, how we can escape it? Some people would receive it in this sense. These are the people who are keeping themselves away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people will say, Allah, fasting is coming. If you are living in a hot country, let us go to a cold country. Let us fly from Middle East to London, just because London fasting would be very easy. That is another thing which is not so much light, because you want to make it too easy for yourself. It is better, otherwise, you go from here to Makkah, for example, or to Medina, where your good actions are rewarded more. The good persons are the ones who receive the month of fasting with their heart pleased, with their soul pleased, with the advent of Ramadan. They say, oh, the great month of blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great month of mercy is coming. And inshaAllah, as Prophet ﷺ said, when the month of Ramadan comes, the gates of the heavens are opened, the gates of the hell are closed, and the Satans are chained. So it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide you with a great opportunity to earn more and more sawab, more and more reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the time to renew your tawbah, your repentance. يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحت الأنهار. وبليفرز repent to Allah سبحانه وتعالى sincerely, a sincere tawbah. Sincere tawbah means that you regret what you have been doing, that you make a resolution, you are not going to do it once again. Any sin which you are doing in the past, you say, I am not going to do it once again. And it must be done with a sincere intention. So that is the time to do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting and prayer, they are together. They are twin. A person who is fasting but not praying, what would happen to his fasting? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said very clearly, الأحد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. The covenant between us and them, the non-Muslim, is the prayer. The person who leaves the prayer, he is not among us. He is a kafir. He has rejected the faith. He becomes kafir. So if a person does not pray, he becomes kafir. Do you think his fasting would be acceptable? No, his fasting would not be acceptable. So if you are fasting, you should be regular at your prayer. All right. Some people just say, all right. We will pray during the month of Ramadan. After the month of Ramadan, Ramadan is gone and so is the prayer. That is also not acceptable. Because Ramadan, of course, that is the month of fasting. But prayer is for you for every day, five times a day. So if the person who is praying only in the month of Ramadan and does not pray after Ramadan, he is trying to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the month of Ramadan and not the month of Shawwal and Dhulqa'dah and Dhulhijjah and Muharram and Safar. He is the only creator of this month, and that is wrong. He is the creator of all these 12 months. So he should pray throughout his year, throughout his age. Every day he has to pray 5 times a day. Fasting would perish. Because good actions are rewarded more. As Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, كل عمل ابن آدم يضاعف الحسنة بعشر أمثالها. Every good action of Ibn Adam is rewarded more. One good action is rewarded 10 times. إِلَى سَبْعِنِيَةِ غَيْفٍ till 700 times. إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا عَجْزِ بِهِ. Except fasting, it is for me and I am going to reward it. يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. Because this person leaves his food, his drink just for my sake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a special reward for fasting. Those people who fast and keep on fasting, they will enter the heaven from a special gate called Babur Rayyan, the gate of satisfaction. That would be a great honor on that day. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, As-sawmu jinnatun ma lam yakhriqha. Fasting is a steal until you break it. And how you break it? You break it with lies, you break it with backbiting, you break it with gossip, you break it with so many things which are not allowed. So try to keep this seal safe and sound. Don't try to break it. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. The person who does not leave lies and acting upon it in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to ask him to leave his food and leave his drink. When his food and drink, leaving his food and drink is just like a hunger strike. It is not the fasting. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also said that during fasting, if someone disputes with you, someone calls you a name, someone abuses you, say to him, إِنِّي سَائِمٌ I am fasting. No more than that. I am fasting. Don't answer him that. In the month of Ramadan, every turning of charity is rewarded 10 times till 700 times, according to the sincerity of the man. Why? Because sometimes you did not do justice to your fasting. But when you give charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate whatever left out of the fasting from this act of charity. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be very generous in the month of Ramadan. In the wording of the hadith, kana ajwad al-nas, kana ajwad al-nas aw ajwad min al-rih al-mursala. He was the most generous person, more generous than the floating wind. He steps in this morning. Any person comes to him asking something, he used to give it. He did not say no to him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, As-sadaqatu tutfi al-khati'a. Charity is going to expel the sin. You commit sin and you need something to expiate it, to take it away, and that is charity with the fasting itself. Now this is taqwa. You acquire this character of taqwa by fasting. Throughout 11 months, you suppress your soul and you feed your body. Now it is vice versa. You suppress the body and feed your soul with the remembrance of Allah. Now if your soul is trained in this way, then of course it can control the body for the rest of the year. It becomes very powerful. It is just like training a horse. The rider is the soul, horse is the body. If the rider is controlling the horse,
he is safe on the back of the horse. But if the rider is weak, it means soul is weak. If the rider is weak, then it would be thrown by the body, by the horse. Now, in the month of Ramadan, you are given this chance to develop your soul. During 11 months of the year, you feed this body. And how it is fed? Body is created out of clay, so it is fed from the clay itself, from the vegetation which comes from the clay, from the animal life which are fed on vegetation. So you keep on feeding your body. But in the month of Ramadan, you decrease your food, your drink. It means you suppress this body and you strengthen your soul by feeding it. And what is the food of the soul? The food of the soul, soul comes from Allah. Its food comes from Allah, and that is revelation. That is Quran. You read more and more Quran. In the daytime, at the night time, you listen to Al-Quran in At-Tarawih. Either you are an imam reading yourself, or you a ma'mun listening to the Quran. In both ways, you got a good association with the book of Allah. You are strengthening your soul. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Satan runs in your veins, especially it runs in your body with the food and the drink which you got in your body. Now when you eat less and you drink less, you are going to make these veins narrow. So there would be no more room for Satan to run into it. This is how it is said that Satan are chained, that they can't penetrate into the human being, or they can't dominate them. Let us move to the next ayah, which says, this fasting is ayyam al-ma'dudat for 6 days. You know that they are 29 days or 30 days. Either 29 days or 30 days. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sahra Eidin la yanqusan. Sahra Eidin la yanqusan. That is Ramadan and Dhul Hijjah. 2 months are not decreased. The month of Eid, and it is meant here Ramadan, and the month of Dhul Hijjah. What does it mean? Does it mean that Ramadan is always 30 days? No, it does not mean like this, because Ramadan may be 30 days, Ramadan may be 29 days. What it means here that your reward is not decreased. No one should think that because Ramadan is 29 days this year, so its sawab has been decreased. No. Whether it is 29 days or 30 days, the sawab is complete for the month of Ramadan. Ayyamun ma'dudat, they are counted days. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا وَلَا سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. If someone among you is sick or he is traveling, then he has to compensate some other days. Now, here comes this issue, that you are given permission to leave your fasting if you are too ill to fast or if you are traveling. Now, if a person is not, if a person can fast, his illness is not too intensive, then of course he should try to fast. Because in the end of this verse it is said, وَأَلَّعَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you fast, that is better, if you know. Because anyhow, you have to compensate them later. So why not now, in the month of Ramadan? Why do you delay it to someone, to some other day? Unless you are too sick, then you can postpone it. Now, suppose you are in summer, when you were fasting. You missed some fasting. You want to compensate them in winter times when they were short. Is it allowed or not? Yes, it is allowed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَعِدَّةٍ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرْ. You count some other days. It did not say that if the fasting of summer is missed, then you only compensate it in the summer, not in the winter. It is not said like this. So this is also a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are missing long hours of fasting and compensating it with less hours of fasting, but still it is a complete day. So that is allowed. Another issue, you have missed the fasting of Ramadan. Now you should fast then when you recover from your illness before the following Ramadan. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has said that I used to miss some of the fasting of Ramadan and then I used to compensate them before next Ramadan comes in the month of Shaban. So this is how you should have to compensate them. The first thing or the most preferred opinion is that you must try to compensate your missing fast just after Ramadan. But if you delay it for any reason, then don't delay it more than 11 months. You must fast them before the arrival of the next month of Ramadan. Suppose you did not do that. You did not do that, and especially for the woman, the pregnant woman or the suckling woman who were not able to do that. If they were able to compensate during the year and they did not do that, and the following Ramadan came, then they have to fast for that Ramadan. And then they have to compensate for the missing Ramadan. How? With fasting and with feeding. So they have to fast for each missing day, and they have to feed one miskeen as well for each missing day. So it means that they have to do it not only fasting, but with kafara as well. That should be understood very clearly. As far as traveling is concerned, again, you have to see what type of traveling. When you are allowed, when you are traveling, either you are traveling by road, or on the back of the camel, as it was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the plane nowadays, still it is traveling. So you are allowed to leave fasting and compensate it later. But even Quran has said, وَأَنْتَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But if you fast, that is better. If you think that because of fasting you are going to meet a lot of hardship, then it is good not to fast and compensate it later. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْجِرِّ أَسْتِيَامُ فِي السَّفَرِ. It is not a good option to fast during the journey or during the traveling. And the example is given that in one ghazwa, in one fighting, there were some people who were fasting and some who did not fast because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them not to fast. So when they came to a certain destination, they had to fix the tent and bring the water and cook the food. So those people who were not fasting, they were strong enough to do all these things. And those who were fasting, they have become so weak that they could not do any of these things. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رَحَبَ الْمُفْتِرُونَ بِالْأَجْرِ. Today, those people who were not fasting, they have taken all the rewards. So you have to look to the conditions of the traveler. So if there is no hardship, then of course it is better to fast. Same can be said about a pregnant woman and a suckling woman. If they can fast easily in this day, the only thing that is left for him is to have sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he should try to have nafil fasting, as we know that fasting of Monday and Thursday is good. Fasting of 3 middle days of each lunar month, the 13th and 14th and 15th. These are 3 bright nights. So these are called Ayyam al-Bidh, the very bright days. So if someone is fasting in those 3 days and fasting Thursday and Monday, inshaAllah, that would increase his sawab. It may compensate a bit towards what he has left out. Though it is not going to compensate completely, because this is a sin and it is a great sin. If a person has broken his fast out of forgetfulness, he started eating and drinking, and he did not remember it. Of course, if he recalls that he is fasting, he should stop at the very same moment. and you must not carry on with eating and drinking. But if you have drunk and if you have eaten something during the fasting out of forgetfulness, it is forbidden. That fasting would be counted. Now what is your duty? If you see someone eating and drinking during the fasting, I am pleased with this opinion which says that if you see a munkar, you must try to remove it. Now, that person who is eating forgetfully, he does not know what he is doing because of forgetfulness. But you know that he is doing something wrong. So you have to remind him. You have to remind him. Stop him from eating. Of course, when you stop him, he has to recollect at once that he was doing something wrong.
What happens to me is vomit?
I will be coming to that point as well. Now, if a person breaks his fasting because of any excuse, he is forced to break his fasting, then he has to compensate it later. One fasting with 1 day fasting later. But if he has done a major thing, like association with the wife in the daytime. So for such a person, not only he has to fast for that day, but he has to give kafara as well, expiation. Kafara as well. And what is the expiation? The kafara is to let it live free, which is not available nowadays. Or to fast for 60 days. Or to feed 60 miskins. That is the kafara for such a person who associates with his wife in the daytime. Anyhow, I have quoted to you that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a man came to the Prophet saying, "O Prophet of Allah, I have done such a great mistake that I got association with my wife in daytime. What to do now?" Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that set a slave free. He said, "I got no slave." Said Allah, "Fast for 60 days." He said, "I even did not have taken 1 day, 1 day of fasting. So how could I have taken for 60 days? The Prophet said, "Allah, feed 60 miskins." He said, "I'm miskin. I'm miskin myself, There is no more miskin in Medina more than myself." The Prophet said, "Allah, keep that." And Prophet waited until someone brought 2 big containers of dates. And Prophet said, "Allah, take them and give them to the people, to the miskin people." He said, "Prophet of Allah, I told you, I am miskin." So Prophet said, "Allah, take yourself and eat. It's you and your family." Anyhow, if you are in such a situation, then these dates are allowed for you. If not, then you have to feed other people. Another issue which is about a person who stands up late in the morning. He has missed his suhoor. He has missed the eating of the suhoor. He has missed his further prayer as well. And then he rises at about sunrise time. So can he continue with his fasting? Main thing is that he must have intention at the night time. If he got the intention at the night time that I am going to fast tomorrow, then of course he can keep the fast. The fasting would be counted. But if he has no intention, then this fasting would not be counted. He has to compensate it later. But does it mean that he should keep on eating and drinking for the rest of the day? No. He should behave like a fasting person. No food, no drink at all. But this fasting would not be counted for him. He has to compensate it later. Now, we come to the issue of vomiting. If a person vomits without causing himself to vomit, when it comes by itself, then it does not break his heart. مَنْ غَرَعَهُ الْقَيْءُ فَلَا قَضَاءَهُ وَمَنْ اسْتَقَاءَ فَعَلَهِ الْقَضَاءَ. And the person who causes himself to vomit, putting his finger into his mouth, and then he wants to vomit, this person, if he vomits in such a way, then his fasting is broken and he has to compensate it later. What about the blood? It comes out of the body because of an injury. Fasting is not broken. What about if he donates blood to someone else? Again, if it is a small quantity of blood, then it is all right. But if it is a big quantity, then some ulama has given this fatwa that it is going to break because it makes the man weak because of that. Come to another issue, and that is dropping a drop of water in your eyes or in your ear. Say it is a medicine. Does it break your fasting? The reply is no, it does not break your fasting until you feel it in your throat. If the curse comes to your throat, then really it is going to break. But if it is not in such a way, then it does not break.
What about the Ashkat of people, the one who takes the
fast? Same thing would be said that if there is any liquid in it.
No, it's powder.
It's powder. There is no liquid at all. No. If there is no liquid and it is only powder, then inshallah it will not break. Using miswak is allowed. Some people said that if you use miswak after zawal, it means after zuhr time, then it should be makruh. But that is an opinion which is not the preferred one. The preferred one is that miswak is allowed any time during the fasting. What about the paste and toothbrush? Some people would say, Allah, if you taste the paste in your mouth, then it will break. But if you don't taste it, then it will not break. Miswak anyhow. Miswak is something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about it. It says that miswak is allowed to do, and you used to do miswak during the fasting. But as far as the taste is concerned, that is an external thing. Any brush is just like miswak. But putting taste upon it, it is an extra thing. Yeah. So this is why the best opinion is that if you swallow some of that taste, then of course it will taste. But if you don't swallow anything, then it will not. For a cook to taste the food at the time of cooking is allowed. A little bit of it. It does not mean that he is taking 10 parts of dishes. So he keeps on tasting every one. So it would be a big meal for him. So that person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this issue is especially for the women who are cooking at home and they want to taste how the cooking is. Because if the cooking is bad, then you know what their husband is going to do. And some women are scared of this treatment. Anyhow, tasting of food, a little bit of food at the time of cooking is allowed, it does not break. Now let us come to the vaccination. Ordinary vaccination, that is allowed. But those injections which are used just to give you some energy, of course it will not be allowed. But first of all, in those vaccinations against smallpox, against cholera, they are not giving you any energy,
no.
So they are allowed. But which provide you with some vitamins, then they are just like food which is given to your body, so they are not allowed. Now the injections you are talking about, that is diabetic ones.
Diabetic
ones.
Yes.
So what are they? Are they giving you some energy or not?
Well, they are keeping your body sugar level under control. If you don't take that, it's either your blood pressure is so low or your blood pressure is so high.
Hmm.
But you're not eating food, you don't eat
water. You'll be on the low side.
Yeah.
He's taking, the diabetic person is taking these injections to make him alive as well, because if he does not if he does not take them regularly, he may faint, and then followed by maybe death or more weakness. If he is forced to do some medicine, take some medicine by mouth, then of course it would break. And that person should not fast then, he should compensate later. You say, Allah, how could you compensate later? because he is diabetic. He has to take this medicine throughout his life.
Right,
so it means that if he can compensate them in winter times when days are short and he can have patience for a few hours, then it is good. But if he can't do it even then he should feed one miskin for each heart.
But by taking that injection, is part pregnant.
Taking that injection, if it is giving him strength.
So then it will shift him on a normal level.
I think this injection is totally different. This injection is not energy giving.
No.
So it should be allowed. What about taking bath from time to time in hot season, as long as you don't drink during the bath, or you don't take water into your mouth and swallow it, then it is allowed. Again, using oil, especially hair oil, or any other oil on the body, does it break the fast? No, it does not break the fast. You can use it. A person before sunset assumed that sun had set and he broke his fast. Later he saw the sun is there still on the horizon. So though it was done forgetfully, but anyhow, you know, he did not try to ensure that the sun has set. So this is why this day of fasting would not be counted. He has to compensate it later. Unlike the person who is taking this suhoor in the morning, and he kept on eating even after fajr. So this person, whether he knew that fajr has risen, the dawn has risen or not, if he knew that dawn has risen, then he has broken his fasting. His fasting is not counted. He has to compensate it later. But if he did not know, then the fasting would be valid. The difference is the famous rule which says that you have to base upon something which is sure, something which is al-yaqeen. Al-yaqeen la yazulu bi-shak. And if you doubt about a thing, then base upon something sure which you have done. So the person who has been eating at suhoor time, what is sure is night, that there was night, and he thought that it is night, so this is why he was eating. That was the thing. And the doubt came whether the fajr, the dawn has come out or not. If he was sure that dawn has come out, then fasting is not valid. If he was not sure, then fasting would be valid at all. You would be valid, inshallah. And you can understand this example. Suppose the person is beside the mosque, living beside the mosque, and he heard the muazzin saying the adhan of fajr. He finished the adhan, but this person was still eating, even after the adhan. Now we have to see whether the muazzin has done adhan before fajr or just after fajr. If he has done adhan before fajr, it means that his eating was within the time limit. But if he has done adhan after fajr, then his eating was out of the time allowed for eating. So the eating is not valid. The fasting is not valid. Another issue. A person becomes wet in his dream, and he did not take bath after he has started his fasting. Is his fasting valid? Yes, his fasting is valid. He can take bath, and after taking bath he has to say his fajr prayer. And it means that he has been impure for quite a long time after fajr. He did not take his bath. But it is not going to affect his fasting. It is just for him to have taken the bath and prayed the fajr in his time. But if he did not do that, then anyhow his fasting is valid. Same can be said about the person who got a situation with his wife, and now he needs to take bath. But he did not take it because, of course, until the sun has risen again, fasting is valid, but it was better for him to take it early in the morning before dawn. Woman whose impurity starts at any moment, whenever it starts, if it is the fasting time, then fasting is to break. Fasting is broken, and they can't count that day during their fast. In the same way, if it ceases during the daytime, of course, because that is not the complete day which they are fasted, so and they can't count this day as fasting, but as I said earlier, they must not eat and drink for the rest of the day. They must behave just like a fasting person. The person, the woman who becomes clean from the impurity just before dawn, the matter is very clear that she has to start a fresh day with a fresh fast. Now, for those women which are in their period after the birth of a child, that is known as nifas. And this woman is known as nufasa. This period of impurity, the maximum period is 40 days. So if 40 days are over and still she feels that there are still some blood, she must not count that blood as the part of that period. After 40 days, that is the maximum period. After that, she must start praying and she must start fasting. For praying, she has to take wudu, that is prayer. And of course, she has to fast every day. After that, if it is Ramadan, or if she has to compensate some days, so she can compensate as well. Now, if such a woman finds herself clean within 40 days' time, suppose she discovers herself clean after 20 days, 25 days. So she takes bath and then she starts praying. And if there are some fasting due to her, she can start fasting as well. Suppose after a few days' time, it comes, the impurity comes once again. Of course, because she is within the limit of 40 days, she would start, she would cease fasting, she would cease praying as well. I have collected all these issues which I remembered, but if there is something else you want to ask, then I could reply as well. Any other thing which you want to ask?
Sometimes and you've got gastric problem and you just bring up the air up, and when the air liquid or whatever it is, that also comes out with it.
No. Something which is coming out, as I said, even if it is vomiting, it comes out by itself. Vomiting is solid food. But the fasting is not broken by that. So what about what you are saying? No.
You take so much different kind of spices and you find yourself really that I'm burning like anything, you need something burning to bring it down, but I don't know what to do.
Not to eat spicy. Yes, I was yesterday, I mean, the Friday, I was in the prison, as I said, not as a prisoner, but as a imam, not as a prisoner. So some prisoners, they say, oh, food is not good in the prison, so we don't fast. So I said, oh, fasting is not to eat. So why do you worry about food? If no food is given, that is better. You have to fast, keep away from your food. Don't say that food is not given good. All right, you are not going to die if you don't eat. Those smokers, heavy smokers, they can leave this habit of smoking because of fasting, because of course they can't smoke during daytime. You can't say that smoking does not break the fast. No, smoking does get the fast. So you keep away from smoking, and inshallah you will leave it altogether, even after Ramadan. And because of fasting, you achieve few more good things. One, you become regular at your prayer. Second, you become regular at your further prayer. Yes, this is very difficult in normal days. Because in Ramadan you have to get up for suhoor. And then there is a little difference between suhoor and further prayer. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, it was asked, how much was the difference between suhoor and further prayer? And one of the Sahaba replied, equal to 50 verses of Quran, or 60 verses of Quran. So you can read 50 or 60 verses of Quran within 15 minutes or 20 minutes. So it means the difference between suhoor, the end of suhoor, and further prayer should be 15 and 20 minutes. Not 1 hour. People have already been awake at night time. Huh? Now after suhoor they want to pray further and lie down once again or go to their offices. So it is better according to sunnah, make this difference of 15, 20 minutes or at the most half an hour. So you can come from your house, pray further and then you can go back. But what you are saying, brother? The meal which you take before Fajr, yes, that is called suhoor. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجل الفطرة وأخر السهور. People will be all right as long as they break their fast early. Means as soon as the sun has set, they break their fast. They don't say, oh, all right, wait for 5 minutes more. Huh? That is just because of precaution. Huh? Yes, no, there is no precaution. You know the sun, what time it has set? Of course, in this country you don't know it. But timetable tells you, eh? The timetable tells you, so you can depend upon it. And they would be all right as long as they delay your suhoor. It means you don't take your suhoor at the middle of the night and then you sleep once again. No. Sleep after Isha, after Taraweeh, and then get up early in the morning, take your suhoor at the last moment of Fajr, before Fajr. And then with the Fajr, pray your Fajr, and inshallah. Your fasting is all right.
Especially in our mosque, we study this study many times, but still many people wait until after Azan before they break their fast. What do you have to say to them?
You should do Azan right from the first moment of breaking the fast. The time you took for the breaking of the fast should be. You should coincide with Azan. So the person who wants to do Azan must not wait. Must not wait. See, the time, sunset time is 5:51, so he should announce Azan 5:51. And the people, as soon as they hear Allahu Akbar, they can break their fast. And this fellow, he can have patience till he finishes Azan and takes his meal. Yes, but in this way, the other people have to suffer for one moment. Eh? you can do that, yes, you can do that.
So somebody forcing you, when you have to break or you have to eat something, if you don't have the power to make something more well, what you can do? You have
to compensate for your fasting? No, I mean, somebody is forcing you to eat during the daytime.
Yeah.
During the daytime.
You need some, like 8 o'clock or
half past 8
something.
Forcing you, is it your friend or your enemy? No. If it is your friend,
yeah.
you can't do this. You can't do this because you know this is the month of Ramadan. How could you force you? Huh? And you must not listen to him. If he's your enemy, why is he going to feed you at that time? Your enemy is not going to feed you, ask you to eat. Unless, suppose you are in a country where people, your boss did not like fasting, he said, you have to break your fasting or I will kill you. So if there is a threat of killing, then of course you can do that. But if it is just threat of, expelling you from your job, then all right, you can accept this threat. Yes.
Sorry, was it just that the Prophet went to the mosque to pray Tahajjud in the mosque, or was it
People are very confused about this issue. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is very clear. ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزيد في رمضان وغير رمضان على 11 ركعات. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not used to pray more than 11 rak'ah in Ramadan and in other months other than Ramadan. So that is about the night prayer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The night prayer is called Qiyam al-Layl. Qiyam al-Layl. It's called Qiyam al-Layl. So this Qiyam al-Layl is normally the time of the Qiyam al-Layl is the last part of the night. Last part of the night. Just to make the people accustomed to this Qiyam al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us an easy way that in the month of Ramadan, after Isha, you do that Qiyam al-Layl just after Isha. So even those people who don't do tahajjud, there are many people who don't do tahajjud, many people don't do tahajjud. But these people who don't do tahajjud, in the month of Ramadan, they will get the sawab of tahajjud as well. Because it is done in the early part of the night. It is very easy for them to do it at that time. So, this is the same tahajjud, same Qiyam al-Layl, same Taraweeh. All these three words are for one thing, and that is Qiyam al-Layl. In Ramadan, just for the sake of the people, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed it in the beginning of the night after Isha, prayed for three nights. After that he did not pray. Why? That was another reason. Because he said that if I do it every day, it may become obligatory upon me, and then he will not able to do it. So this is why he did not do it. But he did not stop the people from doing it. So it became sunnah mu'akkada. It is a consent sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as far as its raka'at are concerned, raka'ah, how many raka'ah? One thing is very clear that in the times of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was 11 or 13. Meaning it means 8 raka'ah taraweeh and 3 raka'ah or 5 raka'ah witr. That was what Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done. But as you know that later, people started praying the 20 as well. So now we can combine between the two things like this. That if you pray 8 rak'ah, for example in our mosque in Dayton, you pray 8 rak'ah. In 8 rak'ah, you have long standing. Because you read the same one para, one part of the Quran, in 8 rak'ah. So you have to stand long, for long time. So you get the sawab of standing for a longer period and listening to the Quran. And in 20 rak'ah, you get more ruku and more sajda. More ruku and more sajda. So you get the reward of doing more ruku and more sajda. So there is not a big difference. So it is, no one should say that someone is doing something bid'ah. You don't say like this. You say that the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still 8 rak'ah plus 3 witr. And because it has been a practice now to pray 20 rak'ah, even in Makkah and Medina to pray 20 rak'ah. So it is also rewarding in other ways, because it has an increased amount of sajda and ruku. So the least amount of rak'ah which is required, that is 8 rak'ah of Taraweeh. And the most, there is no limit for that. Because some ulama, they said 20, another like Imam Malik said 36, another they have said like 42 as well. So it means that if someone is praying more, it would be acceptable as well. Yes,
sir. Yes, I'm sure. You mentioned earlier on that if somebody breaks their fast before sunset, as a mistake, then they realize that while the sun is still on the horizon, that their fast is not valid based on the well-known principle that you should base your practice on the wisdom of his belt, and that which you are sure about.
Here you are sure that it was day, because you were fasting, so it was day. And now after you have seen the sun, it is confirmed that it was still day. So it means that you have mistaken.
What I wasn't sure about was how to reconcile that with the hadith of Umar, who said, and this is from Rasulullah, actions are judged by intention. So how do you reconcile the fact that you intended to break your fast, you know, because you thought it was time to break your fast? Wouldn't as a result, your breaking of the fast be seen as a mistake and the fast is still invalid?
No, intention, you see, intention here means, did you do it intentionally or unintentionally? You do it unintentionally. That is the matter of intention. If you have done it intentionally, then it is something very serious. So not only you have to compensate it, you have to give kafara for that. Huh? But because it was unintentional, out of forgetfulness, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you, you have to compensate only for one day. Because fasting is, as you know, from dawn to dusk. That is the time of the fasting. Now you have missed it. It is just like a person who is praying Zuhr. He thought that now Zawal has occurred. You understand Zawal? After 12 o'clock.
Huh?
Yes, midday. He thought that Zawal has already occurred, so he prays Zuhr. Later he discovers that it is not Zawal now. So his prayer would not be Zuhr. He has to pray once again. So you can't say because of his intention, his prayer is better. No, because his prayer was done not in its due time. So it should not be valid at all. Yes, of course it is counted as nothing.
The time given for the prayer, some people find a difference. Some start early, some start late. So some people are saying after that time, some say Zohar. So
no. You saying about fasting time or about prayer time?
You're talking about prayer time.
Prayer time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, prayer time. That is well known. That is just after Fajr and Suhoor time. Fajr starting point is dawn. Dawn, that is the starting point. Now, in winter, dawn is just like any normal country in Middle East. One and a half hour before sunrise. That is the beginning of the dawn. So the beginning of Zuhur would be the same. 1.5 hours before sunrise is all right. In winter time, there is nothing wrong. Only in summer time, it becomes difficult. Because sun does not go below 16 degrees, it goes only to 12 degrees and then it rises once again. So then they say, the same thing happens after Maghrib as well, which is known as twilight at Shafaq. Shafaq does not disappear. Within 1.5 hours, it takes more than that, 2 hours. So Isha time starts after 2 hours from Maghrib. In the same way, Suhoor would be 2 hours before sunrise. So this is why the timetable differs. Some people say, this is 2 hours. Some say, no, more than 2 hours. But in winter, it is just normal. No dissension.
One book there, which is showing that the Zohar, the other part, 2:15.
Now I'm coming to the other time. As far as Fajr time is concerned, the starting time is the dawn time, which is 1.5 hours before the sunrise. So in Mecca and Medina, for example, they do azan at that time. Right from that moment of Suhoor, when Suhoor starts and Fajr starts, they will announce azan. And 15 minutes after, or 20 minutes after, they will pray Fajr. That is the beginning time. Fajr is done in the beginning time. Now, according to other ulama, when you can say mazahib, Hanafi mazahib, according to other mazahib, Fajr should be done when there is more daylight, which is known as Isfar. So this is why they tend to delay Fajr, and they make it 1/2 hour before sunrise, according to this understanding. Now we have to argue, when there is a dispute between two types of arguments, the best way is to see the evidence, and act upon the evidence which is more clear, more authentic. For example, if there is a hadith which is in Bukhari and Muslim, and another hadith which is not in Bukhari and Muslim, which is in the books which are counted after that, like Tirmidhi or Abu Dawud or Nasai, or even those books of Hadith which come after them, like Hakim, like Bahati, like Nisazayma, others. So you can see all like, if the Hadith of Bukhari or Muslim is saying that Hazrat Aisha again said that we used to come out of the Fajr prayer and it was still too much darkness that we were not recognized because of darkness. So it shows that the Fajr time, the preferred time, would be to pray it in an early time. Not to delay it until only half an hour is left in sunrise. So there is a difference now between two timings, but the first timing is more preferred. The second time is allowed. But it is not preferred. This we must be allowed. Now come to the Zuhr time. Zuhr time starts right after midday. It starts. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when if it is too hot, then you make it a bit cooler. Then you delay it until the day becomes, or the place becomes cooler, then pray Zuhr. But if it is not the situation, as it is in the Middle East or in Saudi Arabia, for example, or in Pakistan, especially in few days of summer, when it is too hot, other days you can offer it just after the midday. But anyhow, there is a fluctuation. You can have it according to your circumstances. Here, 1 o'clock is the timing for lunch in the offices. So people normally pray between 1 and 2. So that is all right. Now come to Asr prayer. The Hadith of Jibreel says that one day he prayed all these prayers in his first time, and the second day he prayed it in the last time of the very same prayer, and said, the time is between these two extremes, these two limits. When he prayed Zuhr first time at midday, and the second time when the state of every person, everything has become equal to it. So in between is the Zuhr time. In the same way he prayed Asr, when the state of each object has become to its, equal to it, and secondly he prayed it just before Maghrib, saying that in between is the prayer time of Asr. So Asr time, when we take the shades of each object equivalent to it, that is the time it is shown here in the timetable, especially from Islamic descent. This is the time it is given the Asr time, that is the beginning time. You can't go before that at all, because that is the beginning time. Now, there is the Hadith which says that the prayer of a munafiq is, a hypocrite prayer is, that when he sees the sun is setting, then he prays at once. He prays and he tries to finish his asr. So it means delaying asr is not good. So now you have to see whether you pray it in the beginning time or you delay it a bit according to your circumstances, but don't delay it until it becomes very close to Maghrib. That is not allowed, because it becomes the prayer of the munafiq. So the timetable which is set by the people, now you people you set the time here for Asr. So in summer, of course, in summer there is a plenty of time between Asr and Maghrib. You can either pray it in the beginning time or even in the middle time, still it is far away from Maghrib. But it is something very bad, even in summer, if Maghrib prayer is 8:30 or 9 o'clock, you pray Asr just 1 hour before it, 8 o'clock, no, that would be something not tolerable. If the beginning time is in summer 4 o'clock, then why do you delay it till 8? All right, if you don't pray at 4, pray at 5, pray at 6, but don't delay it until 8. Maghrib time, there is no dispute about it. Sunset, after sunset, you say Maghrib. There is no dispute about Maghrib at all. Isha prayer, once the twilight disappears. Which twilight? Some people say white twilight, some others say red twilight. In one hadith, it is explained that, al-safaqu, al-humra, twilight means the red one. So after this twilight disappears, Isha time starts. But as far as Isha is concerned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to delay it. And then he gave an example, see the moon in its third night. When does it disappear? That is the Isha time. See the moon when it rises in the beginning of the month, and see on the third night when it disappears. It will take about 1.5 hours. 1.5 hour it will take. So that is the time of Isha. So this is why Isha time is normally made 1.5 hour after Maghrib. Though its time starts after the disappearance of red twilight, and red twilight takes only 1/2 hour. And if you see after 1/2 hour it is dark. But if you see to the horizon, still there is some white light. That is white twilight. White twilight takes much of time to disappear. But red twilight will take only 25 minutes, 30 minutes. Then everything is seen to be blackened on the earth. So Isha time begins from this time till midnight. Till midnight. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that spend your time in talking, in talking after Isha. And after Isha you used to go to the bed. So it is better if you make your delay your Isha. So you all of the talk you can do it before Isha. After Isha. But if there is any good talk, like any dars of Quran, any student and teacher meeting, are explaining about religion, this type of talking is allowed. But other talking, what about theory? Well, what type of talking is it? Huh? Is it good one or the bad one? Huh? So if you make it before Isha, you delay Isha, so that after Isha you go to the bed. That is the best thing. Anyhow, we say it is the best thing, but nobody just acts upon it. Huh? Now it is because of these videos and TV, people they do. They don't sleep until midnight, and this is why they can't rise to the fajr. That is the main reason.
Yeah. So it's really best to follow the religious law, the
timetable. Yes, as far as following is concerned, that is the timing. This is according to the sunnah, but you can fluctuate a little bit according to your own situation.
It's 2:36, Jafar is starting, and 1 is starting 2:16, then it's not really the whole prayer time after 2:36.
2:36 starts after prayer.
Yeah, on this one. On the reason part one, it starts 2:16.
No. I mean, if it is 2:16 or 2:30, that is the regular time. But nowadays, it is not 2:16. Nowadays, 2:30. After 2:30. After
2:16.
All right, brother. Thank you very much, because I have to receive another guest just coming. Inshallah, next lesson would be after Ramadan, inshallah. Ramadan?
No
lesson, Ramadan.